The van was turning, receding around him. Unless he was turning in the still, dizzy barn. It was a stage on an iron spiral staircase, like the one in Auntie Cat's hall, and Sky was below him in the tack room, sponging the harness. The saddle sat on its tree beside her, the gleaming stirrup drawn up to its flap. A hatch was rasping in the wind, somewhere up in the barn roof. She was holding the bridle, drawing the long reins carefully out through her fingers. Behind the partition, Willowar chewed at his feed. The voice that could not be Daddy's was counting, 2, from the haymow. "He mustn't die," she said, over and over. "He mustn't be dead." There were dark sounds, and light ones. The water lapped in his ears. His mother's bare arm cradled his shoulders. They had taken him out of his clothes and were bathing him. She carried the water up to his face in her left hand, spilling it carefully across his forehead and down his cheeks, caressing his eyebrows with her thumb. Her fingertips traced his nostrils, his lips, his eyelids, his ears. The polished nails that would tick on the piano keys whispered across his skin. Her hand was at the waterline now, upon his chest, reaching towards his arm, and her hair fell down over him, spreading out on the water. "Jimmy," she said, "tie my hair back, please." His father was somewhere behind her in the pink, steamy room. Just a pair of hands with the signet ring on one finger, drawing the hair back, fumbling beside her neck. Her pupils were huge and shiny. They had swallowed the green of her eyes, and he watched himself, pale and floating within them. Inside the water, the flow of the bath tap trundled down. The water was hot, but it could not reach in through his skin. His mother was squeezing and turning his hand, her fingers pressed and kneaded through his, as if she were counting, or making him piece by piece out of clay. Her hand climbed his side and swept slowly across his ribs and along his belly. She held him between his legs, scooping and cleaning him, and then, as she lifted, the sudden release of her breath shuddered upon his chest. The tap water beat in his ears, but there was a thin sound, too, of the open plug draining. The water escaped in a yellow spiral. He could feel it, tugging at his heel, trying to drag a thin stream of himself down with it. And Mummy must understand, for her palm slid down over his shin to his ankle, and she lifted his feet from the danger, working her fingers into his toes, possessing him. She was talking to him, or singing. He could hear her clearly on the other side of the water. She was taking him back to the time they had baths like this every night. But then she turned suddenly, and his face was lifted back into the air, and her voice was the ugly, scratchy one that came out when she fought with Daddy. "For Christ's sake, Jimmy, would you close the door? There's a draught like a knife." He heard the door shut. Was Daddy shut in or shut out? And she drew him against her again. She pretended he was her baby, hers and no one else's. His head was pressed up to her chin, and through his lips, against the soft skin of her neck, he could hear the sounds, that came up from her heart as she rocked back and forth. But he could not taste her skin any more. The smell of her powder, the lemon breath of her hairspray had gone away. The bathroom had lost its smell. The memories lived in the smells. His neck and his knees and his elbows began to feel tight and lazy. She must have known, for she let him go all at once and turned away, sitting alone on the floor with her back against the bath. Perhaps she was crying behind that metal wall, but he drifted and settled in the water, his ears back down in the world of dark, hollow noises. His elbows knocked against the sides of the bath. The engine rumble of the tap died away, but the tight yellow whirlpool was tugging at him again, with that voice behind it crying, 3, 3, 3. Upside down, with the maple tree through an oval window tossing its branch tops at the sky. the old leaves coming off in twos and threes, sliding the way that you do in dreams, their rusty sails and fingers twirling towards him and out of sight. The little window was crusted and dull, if there was only some rain to wash it clean. And at once there were raindrops splashing and crawling through the dirt, and he thought, wind in the leaves, and the leaves began streaming and tumbling from their branches. Clouds for the rain, he thought, birds in the sky, an avalanche of cumulonimbus, cumulonimbus, cumulonimbus swept past the lower branches, piling up fast, with a long skein of geese fleeing before it across the window, their dog cries tattered by the wind. He sent up a kite, though a voice inside him said, "Don't be too greedy," and watched its blue wings tremble and slap at the air.